So it is a beautiful day here in Sedona, May 27th. We were just talking with someone in New Zealand and celebrating the winter season with her. And so as I enjoy this late spring day here, I'm realizing that weather is what it is all over the planet. And it's a wonderful thing to really experience the global seasons. And the fact that someone is always in springtime, someone is always in winter, and it's part of what makes the heart sing. We've been discussing the seasons in our the seasons of the heart in our webinar, The Heart of Your Being. And based on the letters I've gotten from you, it's produced some wonderful realizations and epiphanies. So I look forward to rejoining you in that class later. But for now, we are here to share a blessing with one another from Yeshua and the Holy Spirit, and to strengthen our bond with the Creator. I would like to invite some questions and some comments from our community if any of you are so inclined. It does strengthen our connection, our sense of heart bond. And it's always nice if the questions come early, because early on in the call is when we have about, I would say, 50% attendance. The attendance grows as the call progresses, for the very simple reason that a lot of people are calling in internationally, and they want to be here for the blessing, but they can't really afford to be here for the whole thing. This is why I make announcements early on in our call, and I take community responses that are potent and valuable to where your heart is. I really would like to focus today on just the simplicity of being in the heart of our being. It's not a hard thing to do. It's a simple thing to do. Infants do it, children do it. And ironically, as life begins to play out, we forget that it's there. We go to church in order to find a temple outside ourselves that reminds us of the temple in our being. But I can tell you this, if you go to church, which is a building, and you don't discover the temple within, you've actually gone nowhere sacred. The sacred place is the place within you from which your life was created in harmony with God through the authority and delegation of the Creator. For you to have this incredibly awesome, precious life. And what we do in the blessing, at the high point of it, is we pass through the various states of surrender, shall we say, of receptivity, of entering the heart. The first thing is we just detach from our mental apparatus. We detach, hopefully, at least per my request, from the stories of your life that are most certainly not giving you what you want, even if they're wonderful stories. They're just out there. It's something just passing through your life. And oftentimes, when we're in a wonderful story, we cling to it obsessively, knowing that it won't last, and lose touch with something even more precious. So we let go of the stories. We let go of our mental apparatus and all the things we use to think about our way through life. We surrender into the heart. And then we enter a state of prayer. As you know, I don't give you words to pray. Yeshua was very reluctant to give his apostles words to pray, because so often words have a feedback loop to the mind, and they go back to what the mind wants, what the mind's trying to figure out, or mental images of what God is, or definitions we have about God. It's actually better sometimes when you just surrender into a state of prayer. And that's okay if no words come. God knows what you want, what you need, everything. important is to be in the state of being, which is the prayer of your life. That is a state of perfect receptivity in which the Holy Spirit can enter and transformations can occur. I can continue this thought as we go along, but I notice we have a caller on board, so I'm going to see what you might have to contribute to our thoughts for the day. This person is from area code 989.
Yes, she is.
Hi, Nancy.
Yeah, I'm just letting everyone know that since I'm a veteran and tomorrow is Memorial Day, I'd ask everyone to send a blessing to all veterans and active duty and those who have fallen, and that's why we're observing tomorrow as it is.
Absolutely. Thank you for that remembrance. And actually, you know, I think it would be great, blessing givers, wherever you are, to offer a blessing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
There are those still on the battlefield feeling often quite alone and always definitely under stress and very challenged about finding the heart of their being.
And it's, I'll be on a parade tomorrow.
Yes. Oh, great. All right. So
down the main drag here.
Well, very good. And allow your parade to be a blessing.
You bet.
So thank you, Nancy, for having been a veteran, and to all of you on the call who've been veterans, and all of you who have families who are. We send our prayers, our thoughts, and our healing to every situation in the world that has ever required a person to have a military service.
That's right.
And we know that in the heart of your hearts, you were serving for peace, doing what was necessary to bring that about. And actually, I have to add another thought to that. One of the, it's kind of ironic that so many people discover this in military service, is that it's the only time they actually in life ever experienced giving their life to something, knowing that you might exactly have to do that. This feeling of surrender comes over you. If nothing else, you have to surrender to a chain of command that could send you to a battlefield or could send you to the front line or in other unpleasant areas of service. But for the greater good, you surrender. Now, those who've experienced that, let's transport that feeling of surrender and imagine surrendering all things to God. Because it's in that state of surrender that we are actually replenished, that we are made whole. The fascinating thing about the human character and the human nature is that when we want something, we focus on the things that we want or the experiences we want, and we forget about the whole. When we surrender, the whole is activated. And this is actually a survival mechanism that calls the whole person into service in states when we have made that surrender. This is why so many people in locked up in a prisoner of war camp have had major spiritual epiphanies and found their direction in life. Not because there was anything wonderful about the war camp, but because in a state of surrender, they recovered their wholeness. And it's really sad that in our days of plenty, abundance, and peace, we focus on the particulars. Well, I want this. I want to do this now. Oh, you know, I really prefer to be with this person, to go there, do this. We're so particularized. So as we hold our prayer, let them be prayers of gratitude, but also prayers of encouragement to allow whatever state of duress anyone may be in to be transposed to a state of higher realization and wholeness restored. Kathy, I see you're on the phone. Just a minute, let me open your line. Now you're open.
Hi there. I have a question about this idea of both surrender and just being and prayer in relation to free will. Because as I understand, because of free will, if we don't ask for what we want, we're not putting ourselves out there. And yet, at the same time, you know, it's all known anyway. So I get confused about just being in that stillness and place of surrender and putting out a request. You know,
well, that's a great question, Kathy. And actually, the answer is it's all a balancing act, just like sleep time and waking time. If you slept all the time, where would you get? If you were awake all the time, you'd become delusional.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's what happens is, yes, it's very important to express what we want and to go for it. Very important. That's part of letting the universe know what we're all about, what will fulfill our goals, and how the universe can support our desires and goals. Very, very important. At the same time, this is statistical. This is backed up by decades and decades of research. When all we do is go for it and want and be out there reaching for something, we become lost in our obsessions. And it's no longer free will. It becomes obsessive-compulsive. We have to back off and allow the universe to reciprocate and reconnect to the wholeness of our being. And the other part of it, Kathy, is that what we reach for at any one time is a reflection of the level of consciousness that we're on. And reaching for something is like the food or the nourishment that we're requesting to complete and service that level of consciousness. Now, when it's full-fed, complete, and nourished, what happens is we rise to a higher level of consciousness. And we need to pause and just be there in a state of receptivity and openness and surrender to discover who we are, who's now arrived at a higher place. Mm-hmm. And then when it becomes, completely percolated and obvious about what we want now at this new, in this new day, then we express ourselves again. So free will is a gift. It's a gift that we are given to express, develop, and service our life. But it's actually not the highest power in which we take our being. The highest power in which we take and know and arrive at our being is a state of wholeness. And in order to reclaim that state of wholeness intermittently, it's a little bit like going to sleep. We surrender. You know, have you ever tried to go to sleep and not stop thinking? It doesn't happen.
Right.
You go to bed and you're worried and you think. You worried about this or that you have to do the next day, you cannot go to sleep to save your life. Okay, fine. You can even take Ambien, other sleeping medications, and you lay there feeling crazy because you can't go to sleep. Finally, you just surrender. You go to sleep. Easiest thing in the world. So it's an alternating state, Kathy.
Yeah. Thank you.
And actually, we do our highest and fullest receiving in a state of surrender. You might say that expressing our free will is like placing the order. When UPS comes, what do we want to do? We want to receive the package, open it, and try on the dress. You see?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
That helps. Thank you.
You bet. Anyone else with a question about this? But to carry Kathy's question and my answer a little further, in the blessing, we have two phases. We have a phase where you do express your desires, your needs, and your hopes. You release them to God, and then you surrender and you receive. Now, unlike the world, which has usually a very large communication lag. Like if I ordered a new hard drive from Amazon, it would probably take me 3 or 4 days to get it. And then after I get it, I'd have to read the instructions before I install it and I'm ready to receive. But eventually I would. So in the physical universe, we notice a really long cycle between asking and receiving. Any of you who've ever shopped for a new home know how long it takes to find what you're looking for, how many realtors you have to ask, how many doors you have to knock on, etc., before you find what you're looking for, and even then, the process of acquiring it is lengthy before you can ever move in. Then when you do move in, you're in the receiving state where it's a whole other thing. What you're finding now is how each room will receive and accept the things you bring into it, how your life will receive, accept, and adapt to this new home you've chosen. So, you see, we have alternating phases. The larger the project, usually the longer the time cycle. But in the blessing, it's almost instantaneous, the way we shift from the asking to the receiving. Because we're just on the edge of what is actually quantum space that has no time and space to it, the place where we live in the heart of God and in the heart of our own being. And so we're right on the threshold as we move into the blessing, where asking and receiving is a very quick turnover, a very quick and subtle change. But the reason I ask you in your resting phase to just be resting and not thinking is because you're receiving it. You're really fully receiving. Okay? You've bought the home, you've moved in, and now you're just going to see how it feels. You're going to let the energy of the Holy Spirit move into all the cells of your body, all the places of your heart. It's going to reconstruct the chambers of your mind and allow you to see life differently, and then allow us to reconnect even with our own being at a higher spiritual level. And it's through this process of receiving that the miracles happen. You are actually a participant in the miracles. And I can't say that strongly enough. People come and expect a miracle. And most people receive miracles from Yeshua's blessing. But sometimes it doesn't happen instantly. Sometimes it happens tomorrow or the next day or after you receive 3 or 4 blessings. And what accounts for the turnover in the miracles and the benefits and the other things that you receive and enjoy from the blessing is your readiness to receive and your ability to participate in the miracle. And participating in the miracle is what you do from the heart of your being. Because there is a place within you that lives in the heart of God, or you might say the heart of God is placed within each one of us, that we may know that union for the whole of our life. But so often when we first pray and desire, we pray from the events of our life. We have just lost someone we love. We have just taken a job we're not crazy about because we needed money. How in the world will we deal with this? The kids have moved away from home. We now have a huge empty nest with mortgage payments. What do we do? Cutbacks in the economy. Friends being sourpusses. You know, all of these things. We just want to get a big cosmic broom and sweep it all away. Well, that's an aspect of denial on the one hand, and denial accomplishes nothing. It's an aspect of rejection on another hand, and rejection accomplishes nothing. And it is anything but receiving. Because when we become inundated with all the things we don't want, what happens is we stop receiving. It's like we put up a big brick wall and say, you know, it's like we put a no solicitor sign on the door. And then we say, and that includes you, God. You could have prevented all this. Well, we, in cases like that, we've got to gently provide a little bit of receiving for you, and a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit more, until you're willing to receive in doses sufficient to have an impact, as well as participate. Now, the other and last factor is that so often when we pray for my need, and we pray for my story. We think that the story has some power. No story in the world has any power. This is one of the things that Yeshua's life demonstrates. If you really, really look at it from his point of view, and I know that's hard to do, almost sacrilegious to say we could take his viewpoint, but actually he lived in order that we would take his viewpoint. That was the point of his life. And we can't do it wholly and completely because we haven't risen to the level of consciousness he holds. But in increments we can. And here's what we need to see in this blessing is that he came to fulfill a story. The prophecy was a Messiah would come and lead Israel in a political priest-king kind of way into battle, whether physical or metaphysical, a great battle that would banish the oppressors and restore the temple of Israel and restore their place as a world power. He took a look at that and he said, the story has no power. God is the power. And God working through me will bring me to the point of displaying the true power in this event. He truly didn't wish it to be crucifixion. If you think so, reread the Gospels where he prayed for it to go away and sweated blood. He did not want to suffer as he did. But if that was the power, then so be it. And not once, as soon as the story began to unfold, not once did he repel the story. Not once did he not accept it. Not once did he deny it. Not once did he separate from it or move away from it. Because the story had no power. And the story could actually have fooled him into thinking it had the power and he didn't. Never was he fooled about who had the power and where the power came from. On the cross he forgave. On the cross he accepted. On the cross he even endured the illusion that he had been abandoned by God. Now, this took great inner strength, and there is no way he would have accomplished this without being fully enthroned in the heart of his being. And this is something we all can attain. And I have to also caution you that on the pathway to really claiming the heart of your being, the world may challenge you. The stories around you may challenge you. The one thing they don't want is another illuminated being who knows where his power comes from or her power comes from. The world doesn't want that because the stories would be disempowered. But just think about what it will be like when we have a planet full of people who know where their power comes from, and the power does not lie in the story. How different it will all be. How different. Now, what I have presented may seem like an impossibility to most of you, but you can begin on that pathway right now by opening up just a micro section of your being that is willing to unconditionally receive the grace of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and the love of Yeshua, as well as the love of your fellow man, those who have received this and want you to have it also, those who care. Sometimes it's actually easier to accept the blessing of your peers than it is the blessing of God, because it's real to you. The blessing of your peers is like, oh, somebody cares who's like down here in the trenches with me. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. This is why we're expanding our blessing givers, our group, our frequent offering of blessings and being here for others in the world, because the blessings of God are sometimes so unreal because so many people have gone into this place of, well, they don't want to admit it, but it's really there. If God really cared, why would I be in this condition? Well, there are a lot of reasons why you're in the condition you are, but most likely, it's because all of your life you've believed in the stories you live. And others joining you in that story, playing characters, whether antagonist or protagonist, you built a huge script. And these storylines don't contain miracles. I'm sorry, but they just don't. And we don't want to step outside the story, because the story is what's providing our living, our friends, our comfort, and our various other provisions in life. So you say, well, God, why don't you just enter the story and be a player in my story? If you really loved me, you would enter my story and be a player. Well, what identity are you going to give God inside your story? You could. And I have to tell you, this is how all of the limited identities of God have been created by man. Because we desperately try to give God a role in our story. So we'll bring him into our story and call him Jehovah or Allah or Shiva or Rama or whatever other God we have ever created with a name that has an identity. And then we wonder why that God only loves people inside the story. It was the story that invited God to participate and gave God a name inside that story. God said to Moses, don't give me a name. I am that I am. Don't define me. Don't limit me to anything you can create or that you could describe or that you could define. Don't limit me to your stories. I can't help you inside your story. God can only help us by being the creator that he is, patiently waiting for us to ask for something more than our story. Now, you don't have to completely drop your story. That's not required. And almost nobody does instantly, not even Yeshua. He lived inside his story most of his life. He was a good son. He taught at the temple and took on the title of rabbi. Whether he was ordained as a rabbi or not, we don't know, but people called him rabbi and teacher. He played roles. But gradually, gradually, he began to reveal the true self that he was. Eventually, in the Transfiguration, some of the apostles saw him. And he said, and who do you say that I am? Because he wanted to challenge them to see more. That was a very, very critical and moving event when he challenged them to see him outside his story. Then he entered Jerusalem for the Passion Week, totally living outside his story, until the elements of story he was abandoning would provoke those who would say, oh, no, you don't. You have to stay inside this story or else, including Judas, who was an advocate of his story. Judas just wanted him to get back inside his story, that's all. He didn't really mean to be a traitor. He was just so subscribed to stories, he couldn't see who Yeshua really was or how he would bring the blessings to the earth that would transfigure and lift up the whole earth. So I don't ask you to be outside all your story. Just find a micro, just a little tiny micro dimension that you can release and be in it. And then allow it to happen week after week until it expands. Everything you put attention on will grow. Everything. And as it grows, it will become bigger than your story. Until you look at your story and say, I can't believe I ever thought that would bring me the happiness I wanted. You can love everyone that was in the stories, but say, you know, I can't believe, I so love my mother and my sister and my wife and husband, but I can't believe I just thought they were in my life to perform those roles. How much more interesting is it to love them in this bigger way where I can see all that they've been in their whole life? Wow, just think of all you'll discover about the people in your life and how much richer your experience will be. So this is a, in this, if you're here for the first time to receive a blessing, this may just be a subtle shift of emphasis. But it's profound, and it will grow. Those of you who've been here to receive many blessings, be in this place where you've already shifted and allow it to grow. There will be moments in the growth that are like exponential rollover moments where you have these ahas, or where you receive something that truly heals or fixes or remedies a problem. But it happens usually because you have grown to an expanded level of reception. God has always provided the answers. You have not allowed yourself to be in a place where they were available to you. Or even if they were available, you didn't have a cup big enough to put all of the healing elixir in. It just all spilled over and flowed back to the earth. So this is an exercise in growing from the heart of your being into the higher consciousness of all that you can know and receive. And I would like to just move on into the blessing now. I know all of you are eager to receive. And some of you are going to be joining in our class that's starting in an hour. So I want to give you plenty of time to receive and perhaps have a snack before class. So let's move on. Please remove your shoes and socks. Please be seated, except for blessing givers who wish to join me. Be comfortably erect with your spine so that you take advantage of the gravity that moves into and through our solar system, through the sun, the moon, and the planet. Then with your bare feet facing the earth, you draw energy from the planet. This way we have an unbroken connection with all of the physical patterns of energy that flow through us. This allows us to bridge all the gaps in our being that could be contributed to separation. Separation of ourself from others, ourself from ourselves, ourself from God, or any blocking we've done to the Holy Spirit. So just be in a state of reception. Allow your attention to fall into your heart and give your mind a vacation. Your mind cannot possibly understand what you need, how you need to receive, and just be in your heart with the innocence of a child. Pray with words if that's natural to you, or just be there in the presence of God, asking and receiving with cycles that are as quick or instantaneous as we are given to experience, knowing that some things we ask for may not come for weeks or months. Other things, which are states of heart or being, may come instantly. Some people shift from grief to joy instantly, or from resentment to forgiveness instantly. Those that require the universe to participate, sometimes it takes a while. But just know that your prayers, all of them, are heard. So be in your heart. I would ask that you pray for 3 minutes, or until I reveal to you that the energy blessing has been fully conveyed, which is about 3 minutes. I will begin with an invocation to Yeshua, because this gives us a way of expressing our gratitude to the one who walks with us and is our companion in the heart. It gives us a way of expressing our comfort and our confidence, and a way of silencing the world and the heart and our stories, because he gives us a companion in a way that is greater than any of our stories. So let us begin. Dear beloved Son of God, Yeshua, our friend, teacher, Master, bringer of wisdom, comforter, and healer, the one who has been with us and is always with us through our life, residing in our heart. We express our gratitude, our openness, our confidence, and our comfort in receiving your blessings. And we express in advance all of our appreciation for everything that will be received from the Holy Father, the Holy Spirit, and by your grace. Amen. body energetic conveyance has been complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes and receive. Let all the blessing fill every part of your body, heart, soul, and being. Know that you are very loved and God is with you. Bye-bye and see you next week.